of reverence for the Word of God as we hear our scripture lesson for today. And our scripture comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 5. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. At this time, we'll invite Pastor Jonathan to come on up and to share God's word with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you here this morning. In my church, I've been wanting to put some banners up in the front, and when I came in here and I saw the banners, I thought you had a hole in the wall over there. But pretty good photograph. I had to look a couple times. Of course, I can't see very well. And this morning I see even worse because I broke my glasses day before yesterday. I was studying at night and they slipped off the couch that I was sitting on. And then when I went to get up, I said, where's my glasses? And I found them underneath me, all smashed to smithereens. So I have these new glasses that I got just before I left Brazil, but they didn't have time to make me the proper lenses. So they only made me lenses for driving so I can see far away, which means I can see you guys very good this morning. I'm very excited about that, but I can't see the Bible. So anyway, but I'd like to share with you some things that that God has laid on my heart. And the text that I'd like to read this morning is found in John chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. Okay? Yeah. Verse 1 through 14. So you'll see me putting on and take off my glasses a lot this morning, but hopefully we'll get through this in great shape. Okay, this is a story that you know very well, and they tell me that people always like to hear about the stories that they know very well. Isn't that kind of a funny thing? We hear a story over and over and over again, but we like it. But this story has something really fun to teach us this morning. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. It says, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now you see the Sea of Galilee has a name on one side and a name on the other, and so it's the same sea, but they call it different things. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he had performed to those who were diseased. And he went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing the great multitudes coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they amongst so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over and those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, said, this truly is the prophet who is to come into the world. Dear Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your words, for your words are truth. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now we have a situation here. Jesus was getting very popular and very famous for all the things that he was doing. And so the multitudes were coming out, and Jesus decided to go to the other side of the lake to rest a little bit. But when he got over there, all these people had shown up. And he looked at them and said, boy, you know, time's getting late. As the other texts in the Bible, you know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke show, day was getting long and stuff. He says, how are we going to feed these people? And obviously, the disciples didn't, you know, but they found this little guy, this little boy, and he had his five fish sandwiches there, his five fish burgers, I think you call them, you know, for he had, you know, there to stay in. So that's this is the only thing we found. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Jesus did a great, great miracle that day. Now, obviously, this was a supernatural miracle. But as a missionary, I've seen Jesus do many, many miracles. And it's an interesting thing. You probably have too. You just haven't noticed them, okay? It's kind of funny because a miracle is something that happens that when things come together, we realize, hey, this wasn't our doing or, you know, so much. Something great has happened here. And I find this very interesting. There is a very famous pastor in Brazil from Assemblies of God Church. And I think it's interesting because he's from the Assemblies of God Church. But he said, most of the time when God does miracles, 99.9% of the time, they're out of the natural. Just only a fragment of the time are they supernatural. That's why they're called supernatural. Obviously, this one was a supernatural miracle. But many times God is doing many, many things with our lives and in our lives that are really miraculous, but we don't notice them. We don't take time to notice what God is doing. And here in this story, I want to show you something that maybe we can learn something from it that God wants to do through us and through our lives. We see a little boy here that came to follow Jesus. And we learn something from this little, what I call an unsung hero of the Bible. The Bible is full of these people that we don't know anything about them. We don't know the name of this little boy. We don't know where he came from. What town was he from? We don't know how he grew up to be. We don't know what he did. We don't know his ancestry. We don't know anything. But he was important to have noticed. And really, even probably the disciples didn't notice how important this little guy was, because only John records it in the Gospels that it was a boy. It all records the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But only John talks about the little boy who had the five loaves and two fishes. The other ones say about five loaves and two fishes, but, you know, they don't say who had them. But John does. And I think, why does John do that? Because John's book is the gospel of love. And it shows God's love for people. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And his whole gospel is reflected on the love that God has for man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He shows the love of God. And so he emphasizes the fact of this boy bringing his lunch to follow Jesus. So there's a few things that we can learn here. And it's a very simple message, but I think you'll remember it. Hopefully you will. I know people only remember about 5% of what I say, but that's okay. First thing, the boy was ready. Now we have 5,000 men plus women and children. 5,000 men, but nobody was ready. You know, I mean, they went to follow Jesus. They were going to stay a long time. They went across the street. See, you know, Jesus crossed the lake, the Sea of Galilee, by boat. These people walked around. Now, the boat doesn't travel so fast, so they got there about the same time. But the walk was no small walk, to walk around the lake and meet Jesus. So they knew it was a long journey to follow Jesus, but nobody seemed to be prepared and stuff. So they went there, and it kind of reminds me of the little story of these people. There was a big drought, and so these people went to City Square to pray for rain. Okay, everybody went there. They're going to pray that the Lord would bring rain because they're having this drought. It was going to hurt the crops and everything. And only one little guy shows up with an umbrella. Well, you know, if you go to pray for rain, you should take an umbrella, right? Because if it starts raining, you're going to need an umbrella. So it shows the dimension of faith. Well, this little guy, I don't know how his dimension of faith was, but he was prepared. So we say this boy was ready. The first thing I want you to know, he was ready. He was ready to take a long trip to see Jesus. He was ready to spend time with Jesus. He was ready to be a help to Jesus. And he was ready to be used by Jesus. He was ready. He got his five, you know, loaves and two fishes, his, you know, what the ingredients he needed to make his fish burgers, and he could survive five meals. That means he could have lunch, supper, lunch, at least 2 days, maybe 3 days if he had to. But he was ready. And so when he went to follow Jesus, he went prepared to follow and to be with Jesus for a long time and stuff, to take it all in. And Jesus wants us to be ready, to be used by him, to do things for him. Proverbs 21:31 says, "A horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." Nobody goes to battle without preparation, without getting ready to go to battle. It would be foolish to go to battle if you're not ready. Now, some go to battle because it just shows up. But most of the time, you want to be ready. Otherwise, you're guaranteed to lose and stuff. And so, people prepare. In 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the masters of the house, ready for every good work." If you're a born-again believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if your vessel is clean, then it should be ready for every good work. God wants us to be ready. We see in this little boy, he was ready. He was ready for whatever came ahead, but he wanted to spend time with Jesus, and he was ready. Second thing about this boy that we see is that he was willing. He was willing. Willing to give up what he had that was his right to keep. Willing to give up what he had that was right to keep. Now, he took his sandwiches and stuff, and he was prepared, but when the disciple says, "Would you give your food, you know, to Jesus, you know, to feed these people?" He gave it all up. We don't see him questioning. We didn't say, "Hey, you know, I took care of my thing. I brought my thing. You figure it out for yourself, you know. You do your thing. But I've got, you know, I'm not giving it up. Man, I came here to stay a while. This is mine, and I'm not going to give it up." But that wasn't his approach. That wasn't his attitude. He was willing to stay without so that others could be fed. And so he was willing to give up what was rightfully his to keep. Second, he was willing to give up all that he had for the greater good, to feed others. So, you know, he was willing to do what he felt too was better for everybody. He was willing to stay without. In other words, if he, you know, if he fed the others, he gave up his food, that meant that he was going to be without anything and stuff. But he was willing to do that because he was concerned for the others. And God desires in us this kind of willing spirit. This kind of willing spirit. When we see in the Old Testament, when God decided to build the tabernacle, or gave Moses the instruction to build the tabernacle, he told Moses to tell the people to bring what they had for the tabernacle. And the people got excited, and they brought all sorts of things. They brought all their gold and silver and everything, and all the things that God demanded. And everybody gave according to, you know, what he had, and gave with a willing heart. And the same thing happened with the temple and so forth, and various buildings up of the temple. So the willingness, you know, the willingness to give things, you know, to give over to the Lord. In Exodus 35, 21, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred in him, and everyone whose spirit spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all the, its services, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signets and rings and amulets, all sorts of good objects, every man dedicated to offering the gold to the Lord." And then there in 1 Chronicles 28:21, when they build the temple, "And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites and all the service of the house of God with you in all the works, with every willing man who is skilled in any kind of service, also offers and all offerings from all the people will be holy at your command." So the thing is here, not people only brought their things, but they brought their talents as well to service the Lord. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 1:19, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." So the willingness, God wants us to have a willing spirit. We see in this young guy a willingness to give up what he had to bless other people with what he had. And God wants in us that spirit of willingness. Now, in the Abel family, we kind of are planners, you know, and think about, you know, what we're going to do in the future and so forth. We make plans, and not all those plans work out, of course, but we make plans, you know. I made a lot of plans, and your pastor and his friends, who are my boss, do you know that? He's my boss. They sometimes cut my plans. You know, that's their job. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel there is safety. And, you know, I always see when a plan is cut that that's a hurdle. And, you know, you got to figure out a way to get around the hurdle. But God is good, and God does everything in his right timing and so forth. And so, you know, we go, but we have to have a willing heart to you know, a preparation to be ready, and a willing heart to do things that God wants us to do. A lot of people just think, as a pastor, I talk to some young people and say, "What do you want to do in life? And what do you want to do in the church?" "Oh, I want to play the piano." "Oh, are you studying to play the piano?" "No, I'm not studying to play the piano." "Well, how's this going to..." "Well, I'm just praying that the Lord will give me the gift to play the piano." Well, you know, that happens in one in a billion, you know, one in a billion situations, right? But it doesn't usually happen unless you work hard at it. You know, you got to get ready for things. And a lot of people just want to, you know, expect it to just happen. It doesn't work that way most of the time. So God wants us to be ready. He wants us to be willing. And the third thing is God wants us to be able. You know, my brother Paul, he's kind of a clown. And so when he was in college, he'd tell his friend, "Oh, you're ready and you're willing and I'm able," you know. But the reality is, even though our last name is Abel and we get a lot of grief about that, it doesn't really happen quite that way. I find that we have to be willing and we have to be ready, but the one who is really able is God. It's God that makes everything happen. We are so dependent on God. We don't realize that, but we're so dependent on God, and God makes it happen. Now, this boy, he was willing, he was ready, and he was willing, but then when it came to do it, then Jesus got the bread and multiplied it. Jesus made it happen and stuff. Jesus needed the bread and he needed the fish to make this great miracle. But because somebody was ready and willing and gave it to him, the great miracle happened and he fed the multitudes. That's the way I see it much of the time in ministry and in everything we do. You know, we do what we can, but who makes it really happen is the Lord. And I'm sure you've experienced this as a church here. You've seen the great and awesome things that God has done in your midst over the years. God is great. I remember hearing, I came here shortly after you guys were in this building, and the way you managed to purchase this and get it and everything else, a miracle of God. The fact that you're here today, it's a miracle of God. And God has done this in so many ways. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency of all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God does wonderful things. We have watched this over and over. We watched the miracle of God transforming lives. People that their lives is disaster, and they come to know Christ, and they turn it all around, and God blesses that. We've seen it with the works as we handle, you know, turn the works over to God. I work with various ministries, and if you stay for Sunday school, you will see some of the things that God has been doing there in Brazil with us. But I depend a lot on God's miracles to get things done. There's not much money. There's not much workers. The Bible says the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. All these things. But we continue to make progress, and God continues to bless. Why? Because he's doing the impossible, the things that we cannot do, he is doing. And so God calls in us to have that spirit that this boy had, be ready, be willing, and then let God do the things that he wants to do. Now to him who is able to do far more and abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, he deserves the glory and the honor. I remember the church before this one. This is the third church that I have been in the process of building, the one I'm in pastoring today. I have worked with 5 church plants. This is the third one that I've done, kind of just Tamba and I and a couple or so started this church. So we've done 3 like this. But I remember the second one that I did, which was my big school of learning. And after 6 years in that ministry, we had started from nothing. We had an evangelistic crusade with my parents for the first 10 days. Better look at the time here. And then we, you know, rented a little hall, and I remember having such a hard time paying for the rent of that hall. It was really cheap, but it was so hard. And yet, about 1.5 years later, we bought a property. And that was kind of a miracle that we managed to buy a property. And then we started build. In the next 4 years, actually, we built the church and the parsonage and everything. And I sat down, and just before I left that church, and I was in the car, and I was looking at what had gone. I was thinking about the congregation that was there, all the people that were in the church and everything, the leaders that I had developed in that ministry. And I just started to cry because I couldn't figure out how we ever did it. How did we do this? I mean, I never had money, you know. My pockets were always empty. I didn't have wealthy people. In fact, my church was really poor, and they couldn't, you know, afford anything. And yet somehow we had done all these things for the glory of God. And it continues to grow today. The church is there and continues to grow. God did it. And I sat down there. That was the first time that I really saw the miracle, you know. And I said, how? You know, sometimes God is doing so many things and we just don't see it. But that time, I was able to see it. And I've continued to see it as we go about doing our different ministries. So God wants to use us. The question I ask, are you willing? Are you ready to be used by God? Are you willing to be used by God? And are you looking to see how God uses you for his honor and his glory? I'm going to finish with just this little story. There was a lady I read some years ago in North Dakota that she, when they had the first Gulf War, she was thinking, how can I help the soldiers that are over in the Middle East in this war? And she prayed to God, and then God gave her an idea. So she went to her local armory and got a list of all the soldiers that were from her area in the war, in the Gulf War. Then she went home to her kitchen and she started to bake cookies. And she filled up shoe boxes of cookies and she put a little letter in there to the soldier and a little track and took it to the army and they sent it off to the Middle East. And when these guys got these boxes of cookies, they were so impressed, they didn't know her from anybody. And then they, you know, start sharing the cookies with their friends there in the war. And they said, oh, we want some cookies too. So they'd write to the little lady, and she'd make more cookies and stuff and send them off with a letter and a track. And pretty soon she was reaching a multitude of soldiers in the Middle East with her baking cookies in her kitchen and stuff. She found a way to bless people, to be used by God, to share the gospel and stuff in a simple way. Every one of us is on God's team, that God wants to use us to reach people, to do things for people and stuff. And so we just have to be willing, ready, and let him show us and do the things that he wants to do. Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this little boy, Lord, this unsung hero that was willing, he was ready with his loaves and his fishes. He was willing to give them up for the good of all. And God was able to use that little bit that he had to do a great and mighty deed. We praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for what you do in our lives. We praise you that it doesn't depend on us so much. It just depends on our willingness and our faith. But you're the one that does the work. And we're so thankful. And we praise you for it. Help us this day to see what we can do for you and to surrender our lives to you so that you can make us vessels of honor in your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.